Welcome each one out to the New Harmony Baptist Church. Good to see you. Had a great week. We've got most of everybody graduated and done away with. We'll have one more and we'll be ready to go across the country. Y'all continue to remember each one that these students that graduated and pray that God puts his hand upon them as they go forward. We desire to see them all be successful, but more than that, we desire to see them stay with the Lord. That's we're going to get into some of that today in our message as our third part of focus on the family is children, you get your day today. We've all had our day, our Sundays, but it's about children today. And you'll see as we begin preaching from the 18 to 21 age, a lot of them leave church. And I pray that these continue. I hope you continue here, but if not here, I hope you continue somewhere. And don't leave the Lord because you, as life goes, you're going to need him. You're going to need him more and more as you grow older. And you never get to a point where you don't need the Lord. You might get to a point where you think you don't someday, but I promise you as age comes on, you need him more and more every day. So pray for our graduates. Pray that they stay with the Lord and that they, if they don't know him, they find him and they cling to him and becomes a very important part of their life if he's not already. I know we've got several traveling this morning. Of course, you remember Keith and Kay had taken Maudie up to the mountains for a little trip. And Miss Pat tagged along with them. She was a sidekick, they said. So y'all remember them as they travel back today. I think they've had a good trip. I think Maudie has had a pretty good week so far. So thank God for that, for allowing her to be able to do that this time. Remember many others we have traveling, people working today in different places. And I always miss them when they're gone, but I know people have to do that. I understand that. And remember us as we'll begin traveling. We'll leave Thursday, driving across the country, and just pray that the Lord gives me patience and that none of them fall over the Grand Canyon. That's a long drop, they say. Stephanie said the average stay there is 7 minutes. I thought it would have been more, but undoubtedly people walk up, look in it, and leave. So, but pray that the Lord keeps us safe as we travel. We will be driving all the way across from, we'll leave Oxford, Alabama, and wind up in Medford, Oregon. And fly home that next Saturday. So pray for safe travels for us. And we'll all, I'm sure, be tired of one another by then. But do we have any other prayers before we go forward? Yes, remember them.
You need to
remember
mom.
Yes, remember Miss Louise. She is in rehab down here at Heflin Nursing Home. Is doing great. She, to me, don't look like she's rehabbed already. But she's got a little ways to go, so... Y'all remember her. She's done great with her surgery. She, they got her right up walking, and she has done real well. So thank the Lord for those answered prayers. Remember Charlie this morning as he's having a hard time putting some weight on his foot, one of his ankles or something, giving him trouble. So pray for him this morning as we pray that the Lord would heal him and be able to walk. Are we missing any others this morning? I'm sure every one of us has a unspoken prayer request. As you remember our church as we try to go forward throughout this year. The year has really flown by. We're almost half through it, and it just I can't even grasp it. And Bible school will be coming very quickly. And as you'll see again in the message, this message comes at the perfect time. God never, well, he does amaze me. He amazes me all the time at how he puts things on my heart and how it lines up with what our church and our people's going through. And as we go into the Bible school quickly approaching this morning, you're going to see how important it is that we teach those kids and that we share the gospel with them while they're young. And it's God has laid a message on my heart this morning. It's for the kids, but parents, it's something we all need to hear and deal with. And in preparing it, I've had to say, oh, me a bunch because I have failed as not only a parent, but as a pastor also in preparing these young ones. So maybe today we'll get some help. Any other prayer requests? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the day that you have made and the people that you have put in this place this morning. God, I know that we are all here for one reason. That's to honor and glorify you. The scriptures tell us that we must worship and worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, I pray we've set this time aside in our own lives to come, get everything else off our hearts and minds but you. For just a little while, you don't ask much out of us, God, but we do at this time. Lord, those that are traveling, I pray for traveling mercies upon them. I pray you keep them safe as they travel home. Those that are working, I pray you put a hedge about them as they work. And Lord, those that are sick and going through cancer treatments or in rehab centers or whatever the case may be, God, I pray, God, you give them strength. I pray you give them peace. Lord, those that take care of them, I pray that you give them patience and understanding to deal with the times that these people are going through. And God, I ask you to bless our church. God, you bless our church, bless our community. And Lord, as Bible school is fastly approaching, I pray that you prepare the messages already that those kids are to hear, the ones that you would have to draw them to you. And God, I pray for teachers who are excited. I pray for students who are willing to learn. And God, I know that you're going to do great things in this. And Lord, I pray you use us throughout the rest of this year, that God, we can maybe just win one, if that's all it is to you. But God, we pray for more, but if only one life is changed by everything we do, we'll praise and honor and give you the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. The darkness fills the light. It cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. Of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory.
Always by my side. top of the gallows, a dead man walking, till love came calling. Rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
6 feet under, I thought it was over, and answered a prayer, the voice of a savior. Rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
All at once I came alive, this beating heart, these open eyes, the ground let go, the darkness should come low. Now that you saved me, I sing 'cause you gave me a song of revival. I put it on vinyl. Rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
I once was blinded, but now I see it. I heard about the power, and now I believe it. Oh, rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
Oh,
struggles steal my breath away. My back's pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall. You're strong enough to hold it all. No one knows it. There's still good when I can't see the working of your hands. You're holding it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. I'm finding there's freedom when I lay it all on your shoulders. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you.
Great singing this morning. Again, appreciate your attendance this morning, the attention you've given throughout this Focus on the Family. It's a very important series, I think, for every one of us, because we're all part of a family. We're either mothers, fathers, children, or something. We are definitely, if you're here, you're part of a family. You got here some way. And we learned in our Sunday school lesson this morning that God formed all of us for a reason. And we all have we even learned this. He even shaped us the way we're shaped for a reason. And a lot of us are going to take something up with him when we get there. He made me compact. I'm going to ask him about that, but I don't feel like to me he would have made me about 6'5 or something, but his way's perfect. And he knows all about us, and he knew exactly the family to put us in to place us at the spot he wanted to use us throughout history. You see, you all got a plan, or he's got a plan for you and his plan. It's just perfect. He placed you exactly where he wanted you. He put you with the people he wanted you to be put with, and nothing happens accidentally. This morning, we're going to be preaching on the children. This is part 3 of Focus on the Family, and it's about God-honoring children. God-honoring children. Now, I actually thought this would have been the hardest one to come up with a message on, but actually, it's been one of the easiest. It's been one of the easiest, for the Bible tells us many things about being a God-honoring child. And I know that those teenagers sitting back there thinking right now, oh my goodness, here we go. Here we go, another sermon on what I should and shouldn't do. Well, part of that is true, but you're going to see that you have responsibilities in your family and in your church, just as any of us do. It don't matter if you're age 5 or if you're 15 or 20 years old. God has a plan for you, and God has a reason for you being at New Harmony Baptist Church or any other church. You have a spot to be there. And if you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 1, very, very, very short verse to start with, and all the parents ought to say amen. But listen, I'm not going to ask you to stand this morning, but this one verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Father, we thank you today for this scriptures. Father, we thank you for your word. We don't have to wonder about what the world says. We don't have to wonder about what's right about our children. God, you tell us in your word what's right about children and what's right about mothers and fathers. And God, there's no left. It's not up for debate. It's your word, and your word stands. And God, we pray today that the children here and the teens here and Father, the adults and everybody will take this message to heart, and that we'll leave here a changed person because of your word. Lord, we ask you to be in our midst this morning. For us in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. To be God-honoring children, I want you to see the first thing you have to do is seek God early. Seek Him early. You're saying, well, what do you mean? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, remember now thy Creator in the days of youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Listen, church, it's important that we understand this verse. And I have been guilty of this. I have never really been I was never a youth pastor. I'll put it that way. I was a youth leader one time, but God never gave me a heart for that. My heart's always been towards my age people and older people, but we have a great responsibility as a church to reach the young kids. The young children all the way up to teens, this verse tells us something. And as each one of us has been a child, or either we're a child now, or we have been a child, it tells us something to seek Him early, to remember our Creator in the days of youth. Why do you think the Scriptures tell us this? Listen, child, kids, you know yourself that once you begin growing up, you get 13 or 14 years old, or you get 16 or 17 or 18 or 20, and you go off to college, or you're around all your friends at high school. Guess what? I know what goes on in those settings. I know what happens, and all the time God is not around. And you get put in situations where God is not available to you many times, you think, although He's always available, but you get around friends who is not honoring God. You get around situations that's not God-honoring, and because of this, you think you have no pleasure in God, but you better find Him while you're young. Listen to these results. The Barna Group did a study, and this overwhelmed me as I began reading it. It says 43% of Christians come to Christ before the age 13. 43% of Christians come to Jesus before the age 13. Boy, we got a great responsibility, don't we? 43% of them, listen to this. 64% made the commitment to Christ before their 18th birthday. 64% is going to be saved, will be saved before their 18th birthday. 13% of Christians interviewed come between the ages 18 to 21. It drops way down once you get past age 18. Listen, this is not saying that if you're 26 that you can't be saved. There's people saved of all ages. This is saying that most people, although they're drawn to Christ and Christ has to draw them, most of them will say yes before the years draw nigh. And listen, before the time comes when they don't see no need of it. There comes a time in our lives when God has drawn us, we get a chance to say yes. Maybe it's out of Bible school, maybe it's out of Sunday school, and then we get a little older and we get in those youth groups and we have a chance to say yes. And then we graduate high school, we get away from our church, we go out to college, we go to the college parties, and we go to the places where God is not being honored, and He becomes getting far from our minds. And because of that, only 13% of these kids, 18 to 21, ever find Jesus. And church, I believe it's a failure on my part as a parent. I believe it's a failure on my part as a pastor. I believe it's a failure on your part as a parent, and your part as a church leader, and your part as a church member. We have failed this because I've heard even parents say, those children will come when it's time. I heard a parent one time say to a child in our youth group, we was trying to tell them about Jesus, and they told them, they said, hey, you got all your life to come to the Lord. A parent told a child that now. Listen, how crazy does that sound, that people don't see a need. My friend, I'm telling you, according to the Word of God and according to the studies that men have done, if children does not find Jesus when they're young, the chances of them ever finding him get pretty slim. Amen. Come, listen, it's right there. In the days of youth. While the evil days come not. Listen, these children who are 13 and younger, I know they know some evil stuff now in our times, but it's a lot less than they get when they get 18. And these things don't come on them so blindside them like it does. And many of them get in college, and guess what? The ones who's even raised in church, very seldom do they return to church. Because the evil days come, and the things that are pleasurable to our sin nature, they get presented to us, and we go out and partake of them. And now you're sitting there with your little self-righteous self, and you're saying, "Preacher, I didn't do that." Well, guess what? Bless your heart. Undoubtedly, you make the Word of God a liar, because the Bible plainly teaches that sin is fun for a season. It's fun for a season. You know the reason that people get addicted to drugs? Because they enjoy it. You know the reason people get addicted to alcohol? Because they enjoy it. You know the reason people get addicted to affairs and pornography and different things? Because they enjoy it. Sin is fun for a season, and the evil days will come, and they'll take your mind away from God. 23% are saved after the 21st birthday. 23%. Boy, it gets low, don't it? But that's some good news. That's some good news that he's always available. Even those older years. Are you saying, "Preacher, I'm older than that and I hadn't found him. What in the world am I going to do?" Listen. The Bible teaches us that unless God is drawing you, you cannot be saved. So if you're 45 years old and God's drawing you, guess what? That grace has been applied to you. It's been outstretched to you. It's been prolonged to you. And you're one of the few. You're to feel special today that God did that. Listen, I fall into this 23% group. I was saved after the age of 21. I've done a lot of things I wasn't proud of. And listen, I'm not going to tell kids everything I've done because I don't want them knowing it. And I'm not going to do that here this morning. But what I am going to do would be pretty plain as we go through this study and let you understand something. Children, you hold a great responsibility for your own salvation. Matter of fact, you're the only one that holds it. Daddy can't save you. Mama can't save you. Uncle or aunt or pawpaw or whoever it is, they can't save you. Listen, if God is drawing you this morning, you have a responsibility to yourself to say yes. And the truth of this matter is, if some point in your life you do not find Jesus and you leave this world without him, according to the Word of God, your eternity will be in a place called hell. I'm not trying to scare you into a decision. I'm not trying to lead you any way. I'm simply preaching you the Word of God. And if you can't find it here this morning, I challenge you, then you ain't looking at the right place. This is Bible. Every bit of what we're going to talk about is Bible. Listen, Isaiah 55, verse 6. "Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he's near." Oh, if you're in church this morning, guess what? I hope he's here. I feel him this morning. And listen, I hope he passes by you. And if you feel that draw upon him, it says seek him while he's near. Seek him when he can be found. That's why it's talking about these youth. Listen, they're in churches. They're saturated with the Word of God. They're being taught the Word in their youth group. They're being taught the Word in their Sunday school class. They hear the Word of God preached. They hear the Word of God saying. And listen, he is near to them at that point. Listen, the Bible knew exactly what these Barna Group stats were going to say in 2019. That's why he gave us Ecclesiastes and Isaiah and all these other verses to tell us to find the Lord while he is near. My friend, this morning, if he's coming by you right now, you don't put off another moment. You get yourself in this altar and you cry out to God. There's not another more important time in your life than when Jesus Christ passes by. For you know not if he's going to pass again. You don't know if he's going to pass by again. You seek him while he's near. Listen, all those in the Bible who got their diseases healed and their souls saved, you know what? They heard Jesus was in the area, so they run to him. And this morning, oh, will you run to him this morning? And will you find him while he's near before the evil days come? Come to him while you can. So many people are drawn and they put it off. And they put it off. I've seen them sit there on church pews and grab a hold to the one in front and their knuckles be white. And I've saw them, they try to look around and back before we had children's church, people would grab up a baby or they'd grab up something to take their mind off the Lord. They'd do something to get their mind off of it. If I can just get through this invitation hymn, then I'm out of this. I don't have to deal with this thing. Listen, again, you may hear it 100 times before I'm done. My friend, do not put this situation off. Don't put it off. I'm the king of procrastinators. I say, why do today what you can put off to tomorrow? You know what that's always got me? Trouble. Trouble. But there's no other, Stephanie says, amen. We had Abby a little graduation party, and I worked my little self to death yesterday. Those of y'all that come didn't even appreciate it, but it was a mess before you got there. And listen, I had known about this thing for months. But you know what I said, Rudy? I'll clean it up tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow evening. I'll do it the next evening. I put it off. And then the day's here, and I run around like a crazy man trying to get it all done. And I'm stressed out and all. And listen, I knew that day was coming. But listen, this spiritual matter is far more important. You know that Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to come back. And if he don't come back in your life, guess what? You're going to die, and you're going to meet him. And listen, that's one thing for certain. You're not getting out of this thing alive. Amen. 10 out of 10 people died. They interviewed them. They didn't make it. That ain't the way it's supposed to go. I made that up some way. But listen, everybody's going to die. You can put this situation off all you want. You can put this choice off. But I beg you, do not walk out these doors not knowing Jesus. Don't walk out these doors until you know this thing is settled with you. Children, teenagers, those of you who just graduated, if you don't know him, you find him today. Do not go out in that world. Do not get out on your own not knowing him. You know why? Because bills are about to come. Trouble's about to come. You thought high school was bad, brother. You ain't seen nothing yet. You thought that was trouble. You thought you were stressed out over a science test. You wait until you ain't got no money for the power bill. You wait until you ain't got no money for the insurance. Or you wait until your mom and daddy's sick. Or you wait until your children's sick. You wait until some kind of real problem comes up. And then you're going to know about stress. And you know what? You need Jesus to get through all that. You need the Lord to lean on through all these life's troubles. If I can give you one great piece of advice, it'll be exactly what the Word of God says. Find him while it's early. Find him while you're young. I wish I'd have done it way before 21. Church, we have a huge reason to be seeking these young people out. We're to have a bus that goes everyone we know. You say, oh, preacher, you know what that brings about? Yes, I know what it brings about. I've dealt with that many times. I know what it brings about. You become a babysitter. Yes, you do, but let me ask you this. What if you reach one child that God had for this church to reach through some type of ministry that took a little of our time, that took a little bit of our effort, took a little bit of our money? What if this church, listen, one soul being saved means the world to God. He gave his own son for that one. We need to be doing everything we can to reach every child in Bible school comes. You know what we do as adults? We think, oh my goodness, here comes 5 days that we've got to come here and we've got to spend 2.5 or 3 hours and we've got to put up with these little children and we've got to chase them around and we've got to yell at them and we've got to try to make them mind. We've got to put up with their smart mouths at their youth group and we've got to do all those things and we let it become a burden. My friend, we have a responsibility to help these children find God. Me and you. What are we doing? What are we doing? Great responsibility. Children, it's supposed to be for y'all. I don't know how this turned on to me. We got a huge responsibility. Number two, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, back to verse 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. There's something right here for us that God wants us to know. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. Obey your parents. You sitting here right now, and I have been where you said. And nobody had no more sense. Nobody knew anything like my mom and daddy didn't. Everything my daddy told me, he didn't know nothing he was talking about. I don't know why he even tried to tell me. And my mama tried to tell me things. I wouldn't listen. And my daddy wanted me to turn them lights off, and I didn't understand that. And now I'm the light police in the house. And every time I go flip a light off, I see my daddy's face. And every time I yell about the door being open and cooling the whole universe, I think about my daddy. And every time I do these things, I talk about how much daddy knew. And listen, obey your parents in the Lord. You know what this means? It means the ones that Paul was writing to here, they were saved people. They were saved people. Listen, children, until you come under the obedience of Jesus Christ, number one, you cannot obey your parents. You know why? Because you have a sin nature that was given to you by Satan. And you know what that sin nature does? It rebels. It rebels. And even after you're saved, you still have a rebellious nature. Just like you right now. We can't stand to be told what to do. I can't. You can't. Nobody likes to be told this. We are rebellious by nature. And this thing come from that. Listen, obedience definitely is right with God. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, in that obeying the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams." Now, this whole thing is a doctrine that starts with God, and it goes down to our parents. If it's going to be right with God, if we're going to be right with God, we must learn to obey. And you know where you learn to obey? When you're a little bitty child, and mom and dad tells you to sit down. But the problem has come in our society is that us to try to get our children to mind. We buy them a toy, or we give them a video game, or we give them this thing, or we give them a phone, or we do all this. And we say, if you want this, you better do this. And whatever happened to daddy taking a belt off and wearing that hind end out and making them obey? That ain't right no more. Well, listen, it was right back in 1993 when I was in school. It was right for Fred Lovering to paddle me about 100 times a year. What's changed? Obedience. We learn it. You know how we learn it? From discipline. That's exactly how we learn it. We learn to obey. And it's like I said, it starts with God. It works all the way down. But again, we are rebellious creatures that was given to us from the fall in the garden. And we just love to disobey. We just absolutely love it. The moment that mom and daddy tries to come up with something to protect us, we want to disobey them and find a way to go around it. We're great about it. We sat in that little thing over at East Heflin. They told us about that. And I was thinking the whole time, everything that they gave us, you know what? Somebody had already made a way around it. Some security had given us for our children. Some sick person make a way around that thing. And they put it out there to our children, do away with this. For some reason, people love to be rebellious. And the reason is, it comes from Satan. Yes, your nature comes from Satan. He rebelled against God. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to take over. And that nature come all the way down to you. We're to honor our parents through this obedience. Honor means to respect. Honor means to respect something. Children, teenagers, you are to respect your parents. Even when they say something you think don't make any sense, you are to respect them. You are to respect them. You know why you're to respect them? Whether you realize or not, they know more than you do. And whether you realize or not that God has put them up in authority over you, God has, well, our Sunday school lesson told us, God has placed us exactly with the right genes He wants to have, with the right makeup as a person, and He gave us the right mothers and daddies, and He put us in control over you, and whether you like it or not, you have to obey. And when you obey, you honor them. You honor them through respect. And listen, the honor also means great value. If you've got God-honoring parents, children, that is a valuable asset to you. You say, "Oh, I'm tired of hearing this Bible stuff." One day you'll see what an asset that was to you. "I'm tired of hearing what I shouldn't do and what God says I should do." That's an asset to you, children. You ought to thank God for it. If you've got a mom and daddy who cares enough about you to bring you to the house of God, you have something that's more valuable than rubies. You have something more valuable than gold. You have something that God has given you that's special, and you ought to honor it, and you ought to value it, and you ought to take care of it. Children, this is for you. Honor them. Those little parentheses I showed you. It said this is the first commandment with promise. It said honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. That's the fifth commandment that God wrote on the stones. It says you will live long upon the earth. Now listen. Is every teenager that died at 18 years old, was he not honoring their parents? No, that's not what it's talking about. Listen. It tells us that if you're going to live, in other words, a life that is full, a life that is enjoyed, and even a long life, a life that you get to enjoy here on earth with a family, you get to have a family and friends, you get to even maybe have grandkids, and some of you great-grandkids, according to this Bible, that comes from honoring our parents, and part of that honoring comes from realizing the faith they had in God, and accepting that same faith, and letting God change us, and save us, and this thing comes on down to us, and thank God for God-honoring parents, and thank God for a promise to us, that if we honor them, that long life comes with it. Does anybody in here wants to die young? I don't think so. We all want to see the Lord. We want to be with the Lord, but you know what? If I was taking up a load today, nobody would want to get on the bus. Because God put it in us to want to live with our families and to want to be here with them and listen and to get to have these great treasures. And this is a promise we have. to obey. And let's move on. We got to hurry. Serve God while you're young. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Did y'all hear all those? Let no man despise their youth. That means let nobody look down on you because you're young. Listen, when I was called to preach, I was 33 years old. And listen, I've always been, I look younger than I am. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you, people think I'm younger than I am. I'm like Derek. They still ID me, Derek, when I go to sit in a parking lot with kids all night. But no, I look young. And listen, as I went to the first church I was in, I had an old lady there who thought there's no way somebody young as me could ever pastor a church. And I went to one church there, and listen, they wanted me to be their pastor, and I preached there for several months, and they called me into a meeting and said, we have a problem. I said, what's the problem? They said, we can't have a pastor who's never pastored. I said, well, if everybody had that, nobody would ever have a pastor. Young people used to be really held down in our belief. Even in the Baptist community, young people used to be really looked down upon because, listen, they thought if you was young, you really didn't know anything. They thought if you was young, there really wasn't anything that could come of you. And I looked up something a while ago, and I apologize for not having it printed out, but it's come to my mind. The great revivals of our history, you realize where they started? With young people. Well, young people, let me read some of them to you. We got many through the Old Testament, many through the New Testament. All those guys was young. But get down to the Great Reformation. John Calvin, 25 years old. Martin Luther, 21 years old. You go on down. George Wheatfield began to preach at age 21, one of the greatest preachers of the 1700s. He spoke to the crowds in excess of 30,000 people, and thousands upon thousands would come and be saved. You go on down. Jonathan Edwards, young preacher in Massachusetts, in 1734. Some things begin to happen among the young people in New England. He preached where young revivals begin starting. You can go on down through this. There's many of them on through our current time. D.L. Moody in 1858 was a young preacher. You go on down, Wales, report 1859, he would preach and all kind of very young people would come. And you keep on going down this thing. It just goes and it goes and goes. And all the revivals in our modern times that have started, 9 out of 10 of them starts from young people from the age 26 and younger. What I'm telling you today is, listen, you hold a very responsibility to serve God while you are young. And he gives us some examples of how to do this. Be an example to our peers. Be an example in the Word. Know your Bible and don't be afraid to make it known. Children, teens, do not get out of the Word of God. Do not get out of it. I don't care how much times you have in college where you got to study. You set you some time aside when you get in the Word of God. It needs to be in the morning. And listen, I'm preaching to the choir right here because that's me. Most time I do mine in nighttime, but we should do it into the morning time when it's fresh on our mind. Get you a time set aside where you can do that. Get in the Word of God and live it. Be an example in your behavior. That's what conversation means. Be an example in love. Love those around you. Even the ones who look different. Maybe a different color. Maybe a different, something's different about them. They smell different. They look different. All these other differences they've got. You love them the way that God loves. And you show them that the difference in you is Jesus Christ. Be an example in love. Be an example in spirit. Let them see what's inside of you. That Spirit of God that pricks your heart and lets you know what's right or wrong, you show that to them ones around you. You let them see that there's a difference inside you and the difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. Be an example in faith. Talk about faith. Let them see faith in action. Let them see the faith that's inside of you. Oh, the last one. An example in purity. This means, you look it up, you know what it means? Be pure sexually. Be an example. Oh, if there's ever a generation that needs that, it's now. Y'all are bombarded with this more than any generation that's ever been. I know there's always been that material out there, but it's not as readily available as it is today. There's opportunity after opportunity for this to be. It's bombarded upon your minds from the time you're young children all the way up. There's people who are sick and they spend their time on putting this out and they make it where it pops up on children apps and it does all these things and it gets taken over your mind. And listen, I told you that you are created with a sinful, rebellious nature and it loves to gravitate towards this stuff. And oh, Satan puts it out there and guess what happens? That flesh begins chasing after it. And listen, I want to help you with something today. just because you have those desires, let me tell you something, that you are completely normal. You say, preacher, I'm a Christian, I still have those desires. What is wrong? You are completely normal. You know why? You have a sinful flesh. It desires rebellion. It desires sin. It chases after it. There's a great battle that goes on within inside you. Paul had the same battle. He said, those things I know to do, I don't do them. Those things I don't want to do, I do them. And Apostle Paul, one of the greatest preachers and teachers they'd ever been, my friend Paul had a problem with sin. He said, as a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, to knock me down. He said, when I was getting built up, this thing had come and it hit me between the eyes. Some people think it's eyesight. I don't believe that. I believe Paul had a sin that he dealt with. And any time Paul thought he was pretty good, this sin hit him right between the eyes and would knock him down. Paul, my friend, was a sinner. And if you're here today, you are a sinner. And the only difference for you is Jesus Christ. You know what God told Paul? Paul said, I prayed about this thing 3 times. He said, every time God come back and said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. You know what that means? When you fall down, God will forgive you. It's no excuse. The Bible teaches that. A grace is not an excuse for sin. But God will forgive you. God will clean you up. God will pick you up. He'll forgive you 70 times 7. The sad part is when we wallow in it. When we stay down in it. And we don't want to get out of it. Children, be an example, and we're going to move on. And the fourth thing I've got, and I'm going to close. If you don't hear anything else, please, please hear this. Date and marry right. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Now this is going to get pretty plain, but this is the Word of God. If you've got a problem with it, take it up with Him. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You want to know what that means? Marry and date someone who loves the Lord. You say, well, listen, I've heard this. I've had girls, and I've heard other young men say it. I'm going to change them. How many times have we heard that, Stephanie? I'm going to change them. Oh, we had one that said that a lot. She's not here. She's asleep, and she's been working. Y'all don't tell her who I said her name was. I'm going to change them. You don't need to date that person. They're not in church. I'm going to change them. I'm going to bring them to church. I'm so glad that God sent us here and that she got with Blake and the man he is. Listen, I know he has faults and she has faults. But listen, bless God, I believe they're on the right road and I believe God's going to honor that. But listen, do not be unequally yoked. You know the reason that half of our marriages fail is because we're unequally yoked. We're not yoked together. We're marrying unbelievers, and we're marrying them thinking we're going to change them. And then 2 years down the road, we've not changed them. We're going to church. They don't want to go to church. We're going to prayer meeting. They don't want to go. We're witnessing for them. They don't want to hear that mess. They don't want to be around it. And it becomes a big argument in our marriage, and we're unequally yoked. Listen, this Word of God knows what it's talking about. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part with he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be your father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Do not be unequally yoked. And we got to move on. I got one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Remember what I told you, the desires we have are normal? Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Those desires I was talking about that those people put out there to entice entice that rebellious spirit you have, to entice those humanly desires you have, and those desires you have, again, I want you to understand those desires are normal. They're put there from God in your makeup when He created man. Before the fall, those was put there between a man and a wife. That's completely normal. What's happened is Satan has taken that thing, as he does everything. He's perverted it. He's turned it to something it was never meant to be. A sex between a husband and a wife to God is a beautiful thing. It is a thing He created. It's made to be holy. It's made to be pure. And what happened is Satan crept in and turned that thing around. And now there's probably nothing that trips up more men and more women than that one subject. But he says to avoid it. Let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. Because when we're married, I'm not getting graphic, two become one, and it's perfect with God. Perfectly normal. God-given desires. That's got to be handled in a God-honoring way. This thing is completely normal. You're not some devil because you have that desire. You've got to learn how to control it. You read that, I want you to go home, teenagers, and read those verses. Read that whole chapter. It begins saying certain men are given certain gifts. There's people that's been given the gift to be single and not get caught up in this sin, but it's very few. That's why Paul was writing to us. Very few. You're to honor God this part of your life. Nothing more beautiful than God than a relationship between a husband and a wife. How do I know that? Because he says, I write concerning Christ and the church. He said, as Christ give himself for the church, husbands, give yourself your wife. He says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And he says, children, obey your parents. My friend, this morning, the family unit was created by God to be perfect in that perfect harmony. Sin came in, and now families, listen, family is still important to God. God hadn't lost control of families. Simply after that sin came of Adam and Eve, oh, the challenge become great. But listen, the grace is there for us. Husbands, I challenge you to lead your family in a God-honoring way. Lead your wife, number one, and then lead your children. Wives, I beg you to submit to that husband. Remember what I said last week? If he is leading you towards God, you have a biblical responsibility to be behind him and support him. Not if he's leading you away from God, but if he's leading you to God, you have that responsibility. And finally, children, in what we preach today, you have a biblical responsibility to obey your parents and obey God and be God-honoring, children, and then later adults, and then the cycle begins over. God will bless you with a family, and you get an opportunity to be what your father was. You know how we learn what we do in a family? From watching our parents. We learn. You know how that I learned that we should turn those lights off? I watched my daddy for 21 years. You know how we learn of how we to do this? We watch mama. We watch them. And the cycle competes over and over. Church, I challenge us to be a church full of families who have got this thing in the right order. That we're honoring our families. Number one, we're honoring God and we honor our families. We lead them in the right way. And we're a church that God can use in this community. Remember I told you about all the qualifications for men of God. It's in there. All in Timothy and Titus, it tells us. Every single one of them tells us if we can't rule our family, how are we going to ever take care of a church? This morning me and Rudy was cutting up. Them two was out there fussing over that little baby. Rudy said, can't you handle your children? I said, no, and how am I supposed to take care of a church? God put that thing there seriously. Men, if you're going to be leaders anywhere, you got to start in your home. Ladies, you the same, and children, the obedience you learn from your parents starts with God, goes to parents. It's going one day, you probably found it out already, it's on the football team. What happened, Landon, if the coach told you something to do, and you tell him, well, I just simply ain't going to do that. If he's worth much, coach, he'd tell you not to come back. We learn obedience from discipline. Then when you get to the workforce and you tell the boss, I don't want to do that job, he's going to tell you go home. You ain't going to be able to take care of your family. God put all these things in order for our protection and for our good. Everything about us is for us. Today, is there any parents in here, number one, that don't know the Lord? Is there any fathers here? If you don't know him, you cannot lead somebody towards him. Mothers, any mothers here that don't know the Lord? I'm not talking about pride. Don't get prideful. They'll think I'm a fake. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about you being right with God. Children, are there any children here today that is not right with God? You say, well, I don't consider myself a child. If you ever had a mother and daddy, then you're a child. Anybody that don't know Him, if you would stand this morning, you see, you got to start right. You have to have the foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And I want to give you another good piece of encouragement, maybe. Maybe you're here this morning. A lot of what I preached about, you have gotten caught up in. Those desires has overtaken you, and you're caught up in something you don't think you can get out of and that God can't use. I challenge you to go through the Bible and look at men of God and what they got in. You ever heard about a man named David? Fornication was evident in his life. You ever heard about all these other biblical characters? A lot of them had immorality that they had failed God. What do we do if we fail? What do I do if I have made a mess of my life in this area? You come to God, you confess it. The Bible says He's just to forgive it and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know what that means? That means that you can give Him that sin. You can ask Him, you confess it, ask Him to forgive you of it. You can walk out those doors completely clean. Brand new start. That's grace. Jonathan's going to play a video this morning since Miss Pat's out. You need to come this morning. You come. Do not leave this place not knowing the Lord.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself?